Thanks. I am going to speak for about 15, 20 minutes tops before we do our practice. So just to let you know. And what I'd like to do now is just review the read-aheads for tomorrow, because there are a few things that we'd like you to take a look at tonight if you have a chance. And these are actually in the full manual. So you'll need to open up the manual on your computer if you have access to look at it. And these are all in chapter 14 of your level one manual, and it's hyperlinked. So if you open it up and you just click on in the table of contents, chapter 14, it'll take you right there, which is nice. And we have the code of ethics and professional conduct document. And we're going to go over that tomorrow. I mean, we want you to read it, because I'm not going to go over it line by line by line, but we're all by coming to the level one, agreeing to this code of ethics and professional conduct. It's, again, only in the manual, chapter 14, pages 4 through 6. It's also on the IREST website. We have a whole ethics page. It talks about our ethics committee, things like that. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. But this is the particular document I'd like you to review tonight, the Code of Ethics and Professional Conduct. Also, there's a copyright, trademark, and permissions document. And that's on pages 7 through 8 in chapter 14. And basically, it's like a plain language, digestible, understandable version of the actual intellectual property and standard use agreement. That's at some point, read through it. You could read through it tonight. That's in chapter 14. It's much longer because it's a formal legal document. It's pages 9 through 15. But to get the gist and what you're going to want to know about teaching and what you can and can't do, that's going to be the copyright, trademark, and permissions, pages 7 through 8. Okay, so if you could review that. That way you come with questions tomorrow. You can also, for those of you in the room, you can just take a picture of this later if you want. So what I have planned for our time is I just have a few teaching themes to talk about imagery. Imagery arises, as you know, in the Vijnanamaya Kosha. That's where imagery typically comes up, in the land of cognitions. But we know imagery comes up for many of us. Not everyone can internally have images in their mind. There are some people in the world that cannot, that are neurodivergent. But a lot of people are very able and capable of having images of something in their mind. And it comes up through all of the koshas, right? It just naturally comes up. You could see how imagery comes up throughout. But I'll be talking about imageries and also essential qualities, inherent qualities of essential nature. So that's what I'm going to do here for a few minutes. And I have two poems because I couldn't decide on just one. So I have two poems that I think round out what we've done today that will lead us into a meditation. I'm going to interview you for some images that are really potent for you, and I'm going to weave that in to the practice tonight. Right? And then we'll be focusing in on some of those inherent qualities of essential nature. Should be a really nice practice. So just a few things here on imagery to keep in mind. Imagery for most of us, like I said, underlies every experience. It underlines when we meet sensation. Sometimes as we're meeting sensation, we'll have spontaneous images that will pop up, right? It underlies emotion, thoughts, cognitions, beliefs, any perceptions. And images are nonverbal. They're here as a portal to our unconscious, right? So as I'm going to be offering these in an IRIS practice, you can think of them as a nonverbal portal directly to your unconscious. It's very potent. And it's also a process of purification. Because what happens is it allows experience to come up to the surface, right? It draws emotions out of our unconscious. It may draw spontaneous memories that pop up as images that associate with a particular image that's coming through. There may be sensations that come through. And all I'm asking you to do when this arises in the practice is just to allow whatever's bubbling up to bubble up, right? Allow all the sensations, the emotions to bubble up, just like a bubble on a lake. that's the process of purification. And then at some point, attention is going to be released. And just like that bubble, it will pop, right? And that liberates attention so that it can be with the next image and all that it creates and unfolds through your body mind, right? Right out of the unconscious. You can engage what's coming up or not. That's your choice in the practice, right? If you're going to engage it, remember all those six ways of meeting and greeting emerging material. So you can just simply note it, feel it. Maybe you'll work with opposites. Maybe you'll anthropomorphize and have a little dialogue with it. Maybe you'll just keep feeling yourself as this background witnessing presence or this background of awareness itself. Ultimately, that's really what I'm offering, but it's up to you if you want to engage it more fully, because there might be something that feels important to meet. And if that happens, let go of my voice, engage. It's a practice of self-inquiry. Remember, you're inquiring to what's most important, and then you can re-engage at any time. But if you don't choose to engage, you're just going to be feeling yourself as this background, observing or witnessing presence or being or awareness, and that process of purification is just going to be happening where all of this is just going to be unfolding. And, you know, you could weave in your inner resource at any time. I may not necessarily be calling it out, but I want you to know you can weave it in. I may weave it in. I usually do. But if I don't, and it's something that feels important for you to have and to weave in, if something's coming through that's bringing a lot of emotion, you know, that's what it's there for, right? Make it your own. There are a couple of ways that we can work with imagery. We can go on a journey. We typically don't go on a journey unless we've interviewed our students first, and then we're using their images on the journey. Otherwise, we're just imposing them, and we're just, it's a true guided imagery, you know, where we're likely taking them, you know, watch your intention. You're probably wanting to give them a good experience, right? So we want to, in iRest versus traditional yoga nidra, there are some really potent images in traditional yoga nidra. And they will just call them out, you know, an antelope in your belly, you know, an elephant in your heart, all these things. And or there are cross-cultural archetypal images. Some of the core shapes, triangles, circles, squares, rectangles, these also have an impact on our psyche and on our unconscious, and they're actually archetypal and cross-cultural. Images can be archetypal and cross-cultural, like I was just sharing. They can be, you know, just specific to our culture, Western culture versus Eastern culture. An antelope in your belly may feel really potent. I may not be getting that right, but a certain animal in a certain part of the body may be very potent in one culture. And here we may have the flag, right? The United States flag. We might have the arches from McDonald's, French fries and apple pie, right? These are just really, you know, just classic images that watch what it evokes for you. And then we have familial images, and then we have just personal ones that resonate for us. But we don't impose. We interview and help people discover their own image and the imagery that speaks for them. So that then I'm going to interview you in a little bit. I'm going to write it up, and I'm going to just offer this up kind of popcorn style, where I'll be doing opposites of imagery, not like opposing opposites, doing, you know, beautiful sunset and storm over the ocean, although they may come that way, but I might offer a few that are more challenging and a few that are more beatific. But the other thing is to not presume that we know what something is going to evoke for someone. You know, for some people, an image of a gun is very threatening, and it brings up fear and anxiety. And for others, it can bring up a sense of security and safety and protection. Right. For someone, a newborn baby may be beautiful and bring this great immense joy. And for somebody else in the room, they just lost a baby, right? And it may bring up incredible grief. So we just don't know. That's why I will always weave in a resource at some point, and I always encourage people to have that by their side. I wouldn't offer imagery in a drop-in class for just that reason, because we don't know what's going to be evoked out of people's unconscious. And I will, when I offer imagery, always make sure people have access to me, right? If they're online, make sure they have a way to email me, to reach out to me if something were to come up. So we can do the opposites, or we can take people on the quote journey, but we want to make sure that we're not just imposing all the beautiful images that we think would be lovely for people. If you're doing it with iRest, make sure you interview your group and you're using their images. What else? Emptiness, formless, void. We can feel into these. They're classic examples of essential nature, of descriptors. But they're still images for most of us. We all have an image of what emptiness is, or the void, right? So even that has, there's still representations. We want to evoke and hope that people, you know, they're pointers to essential nature, but we're hoping that people dive in to their firsthand experience, but there can still be that subtle separation, right? A representation. So I'll interview you on images here in just a moment. But remember, even though in this particular practice, I'm going to weave it in, and I'll just touch on noting emotions or thoughts beforehand, because really emotions and beliefs and those types of things will come up along with the images. So it'll be combined when I do the imagery, right? But I'd love to switch gears then and talk about experiencing natural expressions of essential nature. So remember earlier I was sharing that essential nature is characterless. It doesn't have anything that we can hang on to it, right? However, it's like the heat from a flame, that there are certain inherent qualities that are evoked as we touch into our essential nature. It's just a part of being human, right? So while essential nature is devoid of qualities, these are just like that, like the perfume from a flower, like the fragrance from a flower that's left over. As we touch in, we may have these inherent qualities that just burst forth. They're uncaused, they're independent. They're just inherent as part of our essential nature, as far as what it evokes in us when it touches us. I'd really say these come through with more from that sense of being, because we have that, you know, it evokes this in us in our personal expression and our human expression. So these are things like, you've heard me talk about these before, but loving kindness, friendship, compassion, wisdom, curiosity. And what's happening here is, and this is what we're really getting at in the heartfelt desire, is we're shifting away from what do I want, and we're asking, what does life want of me, right? What is this underlying life force that is underlying all of life? What is it asking of me? It has a unique expression. We're each a unique expression of it. And when these essential qualities start coming alive in us, it really kind of brings us, it starts to bring us into alignment somehow, where we start to touch into, okay, well, if this is part of my expression, this is part of what life is asking of me, right? So we can nourish these. We can, after we've touched on them and they've come up quite naturally, we can nourish them and weave them into our meditations. We can have meditations where we can just sit with wonder or sit with awe. But I'll weave those in. I will probably have you in the imagery land in some kind of place that's more expansive, because it's an easy jumping off point into more of like being or awareness. And then weave in the essential qualities. But what I'd love to do is interview you. So I'm dropping in some that are relevant and resonant for you. Excuse me for turning my back to you. So what I'd love to do is interview you, and maybe Denny Shea, you could call out some of the ones that come through from people that are at home. And anybody in the room, feel free to, you know, call out images that are relevant for you. So, you know, let's start with images. What are some images? And you could think about this personally, culturally, in your family, something that would be really potent for you and that you'd like to have woven in to the meditation, knowing I may not be able to get to all of them, but I'll do my best. Yeah. Trees. Mm-hmm. Lake.
Have a forest grove.
Ocean. Beach. Forest grove.
And mountains.
Well, you know mountains have to come in there because of Mount Rainier. They're coming in for me. What else?
Volcanoes.
Volcanoes. Maybe there's an E and an S. So I am going to offer in some that may evoke, you know, a lot of these. I love that we have the positivity bias. We're all ready. We're all ready to go into the goodness. But what are some that might be more challenging that we could weave in that might be important to experience for you?
Fire.
Fire.
A clear-cut forest.
Clear-cut forest. Mm-hmm.
War.
War. Flood. Mm-hmm. Couple more. Quicksand. Mm-hmm.
Protests.
I'm sorry, Denny Shea, I didn't hear that one.
Protests.
Protests. That could be, that could evoke anything depending on the person, right? And any other ones that feel really potent, and it could be, you know, quote, positive or negative, something that you have a preference towards or, you know, any other ones. Now's your time.
I have storm.
Storm. Okay.
And traffic jam.
And I might weave in, just so you know, I may weave in some cross-cultural ones that may not be on the list. Okay, great. And then how about inherent qualities of essential nature? I've given some examples earlier of, you know, we have the Brahma Viharas, joy, equanimity, compassion, loving kindness, wonder, awe. You know, you could repeat some of these if you want them woven in, but are there any that feel particularly evocative or something you'd like to experience? Gratitude? All right, I'm going to have to turn my back and go on my knees now. So, yeah, it's not personal, folks. Okay, gratitude. Mm-hmm. What else?
Wonderment.
Wonderment. I'm sorry. Bliss. Mm-hmm.
I have three. I have spacious.
Yeah.
Light.
Mm-hmm.
And awe.
Okay. Awe. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Oneness. Mm-hmm. I don't know if solitude is one, but if it feels important to you, I will absolutely add it in. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that. I don't know. I think stillness is. Yeah. Stillness is for sure. I think that's evoked. Solitude, I think, ends up being a little bit more personal. You know what I mean? Yeah. empowered. So I'll put stillness and empowered. And I may weave in again some of these other, a few other ones. Great. Awesome. Okay, well, settle in and I will read you some poems.